The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Going to be looking ahead to Summer Fridays action today. Darren Owen, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell will be your studio team on Friday, bringing you action from Ascot, Fontwell, Hexham and Wolverhampton, as well as Dundalk. Garen also hosts a card in the afternoon over the Irish Sea. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by Catherine Fry to look ahead to the action. How are you doing, Catherine?
Yeah, I'm good, Alex. Are you okay?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. As I mentioned, we're going to look ahead to some of Friday's action. We've got a race at Fontwell, a race at Ascot, and a race at Hexham to look forward to. We'll kick things off just by having a chat about Sandown. Now, obviously, they've got a new look jumps finale. Flat races dropped from the mixed card. What do you think about that?
Do you know what? I actually don't know what I think about it. I used to love going to that meeting years ago and actually really enjoyed the mixed card. I used to love the Whitbread as it was years ago. It's not the same race anymore, and that meeting has been lacking something. I don't know whether this is the answer. My worry is, obviously, it's going to be the finale to the jump season, which, yes, of course, we need a finale, but you've got horses that would have been primed for Cheltenham, for Aintree. You've also got, then, Fairy House and Punchestown to take into consideration. I'm all for there being a break in between the season, but I'm not sure that the break is sort of still long enough. It's a three-day break, and then, obviously, Cheltenham's going to reopen it with the Hunter Chase evening, but that's going to be quite strange for sort of two reasons. Obviously, that meeting is actually when the curtain comes down on the Cheltenham season, and also it's a race meeting for Hunter Chases, for amateur riders. So I'm not really sure what I think of it at the moment, to be honest. I think I'll have to actually sort of see how one operates before I make up my mind.
No, I know what you mean. I think the break is a good thing.
Yes.
But it certainly could be longer, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think we do need a longer break. Absolutely. I think you need a break then to go into the summer jumping, and then I think you need a definite break between summer jumping and then the season sort of starting proper. As well, you know, obviously there was a much longer break years ago. I don't know. I must admit, I used to enjoy the mixed card.
It's just going to be one of those things that we'll just have to wait and see
how
it pans out. Yeah,
exactly. See what happens. You know, obviously, if next year's a roaring success, it's going to be a bit odd, though, rocking up the road to Cheltenham on for the Hunter Chase evening, thinking, well, this is officially now the start of the season, but it's the end of the season for Cheltenham. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is a bit odd, but like we said, we'll just have to see how that pans out. Okay, then, we will move on to look ahead to Sunday's action. We've got a rather big race from Longchamp, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe. I'll just run you through the betting, and then we'll just have a chat about what you fancy. We've got Orfevre in at 2-1, Novelist and Trev at 9-2, Kazuna 13-2, Intello at 12s, Flincher Leading Light, Ruler of the World 14s, Alkazim 16s, The Fugue at 20s, and 33s, or big at the rest. Where should we start with this then, Catherine?
Well, I know that, I mean, there's so much hype, isn't there, about Orfevre and obviously Novelist, and they've sort of been barking up, and Tello as well in the week. Can understand all the cases for them. I think Orfevre might be, for a horse that sometimes chucks it in, and obviously his trainer said himself he is a bit of a head case, I think that might be a little bit too short in a field of that quality. I love the filly Trev. I thought she was commanding on Trials Day, and in the pre-Diane before that, obviously she beat the Irish Oaks winner in Chiquita. She gets the allowances. I don't think the ground's going to pose any problems for her. I think she's absolutely top class. Love her. The horse I'm still waiting for him to be supplemented is Leading Light. He's going to stay all day. She won the Ledger. Won the Queen's Vase at Royal Ascot, 2 miles, no problem on the ground. He's actually, you know, he's unbeaten since this time last year. I think that's a cracking price about him.
Okay. So if we had to pin you down for a selection, what would you go for on this?
Go for the value, go for Leading Light.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay then. And obviously, yesterday brought news that Franco Di Torri will not be taking the ride on Trev. He suffered a pretty nasty injury, actually, didn't he? And I mean, in a year that hasn't been particularly great for him, it would have been a chance to really sort of end it on a high. But that won't be the case now, will it?
No, I do feel sorry for him. It's been he's had a real. I mean, it must be just so frustrating to come back and then things just haven't really gone his way. He's taking an awful lot of criticism still, isn't he? And it's sort of I don't think he's riding with the sort of confidence. I don't think he's lost any of his ability. I just don't think he's riding with the confidence that he used to. And with everything that's going on, you can sort of understand that. Still a better rider than I'll ever be. You know, I don't think I'm in any position to be criticising anyone's riding. It's a shame. It would have been a great story had he sort of even finished in the sort of placings in the art, really, wouldn't it? You know, in a race of that quality, and it goes in. You know, if he'd have gone in there with a right chance on that filly, you know, I've no doubt that she's going to be in there fighting.
Mm. Okay, then. Right, we shall move on to some of Friday's action. We'll kick things off with the 2:40 from Fontwell. It's a novice's chase over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. 7 runners are down to go to post. And we shall kick things off with Ski Sunday for Tim Vaughan and Richard Johnson, the highest rated horse in the field and has every chance of going close again here.
Yeah, he does. His last win, though, is like Kempton in January 2011. That was off 133. He's down on 117 now. I just don't know if you can have utter faith in him. There is... I really like the chances of Virginia Ash.
Mm.
Obviously, he was seventh in the Albert Bartlett at the festival. And was actually the piece of form which I really like. Obviously, albeit beaten a fair while, but he was actually sixth in an excellent bumper at Fairy House in 2012. And it's actually a bumper that I'm quite hot on. The bumper that gave us obviously the winner Clondor Kempfer, the Liquidator, and Snake Eyes. I think you can put a line through the closing race of last season at Cheltenham in April. He sort of hit the second, I think, and then sort of lost all chance. And I think he may have left his race behind. And obviously the Albert Bartlett at the festival was running horrible ground. He was obviously disqualified from the Chepstow win in February for having found to have a prohibited substance. I am very, very keen on his chances here. Bracken House also, obviously, won at Cartmel, even though the saddle slipped. He's very consistent. I know what you mean about Ski Sunday, but I just don't... I want to see him given a bit more.
No, I'd agree with that. I think it'll run its race. But whether it'll get its head in front, I'm not so sure. So would your selection be Virginia Ashland here?
It would be, yeah. I think it's Old Dreams as well, you have to give a shout to. He's sort of a course winner, he'll stay all day. Last one over 3 mile 2. This trip isn't going to be a problem. But Virginia Ash for me. Obviously with the form of the Tizzards as well at the moment.
Mm, the Tizzards had a great day at Newton Abbott, didn't they, earlier in the week? Firing on all cylinders. OK, then, so Virginia Ash in the 2:40 at Fontwell. The next race that we'll look at is the 3:40 from Ascot. We go from a novice chase to a listed contest on the flat. It is the Noel Mueller Stakes listed contest over a mile and 6 furlongs. 8 runners are down to go to post. And this does look a nice race, doesn't it, Catherine?
Yeah, it does. This is a lovely race. I'm sort of keeping a very close eye on the weather, though, at Ascot. I think, obviously, the ground's good at the moment. No significant rainfall overnight. I think that they are forecast rain before the off tomorrow. It's hard to know where to start with this. So I guess if we start with Greatwood, obviously... Very sort of hyped at the start of the season. Started off being pretty well fancied for the Derby once Telescope went by the wayside. Disappointing in the Dante and again at Royal Ascot. Just touched off at Doncaster to Forgotten Voice. I don't think the season's gone to plan, but a horse of that sort of calibre, obviously he's from the family of Fame and Glory. You can't... I'm very sort of loath to put a line through him. I know that the Holfords think an awful lot of Dabadean. He was actually talking about running him in the Irish St. Ledger. I think the slow pace at sort of Dundalk over 1 mile, 2.5 last time out just kind of did him a bit. He won at the Curragh twice and Down Royal before that, but he's only ever raced on the Dundalk surface or on a solid surface. So if the rain gets into the ground at Ascot, if the rain arrives, I would sort of be a bit worried about that. It's the other Irish raider, to be honest, that I'm very keen on. She's ground versatile. She won on good firm at Killarney, yielding at Galway and soft at York. She travelled beautifully at York over 1.6 miles to win the Melrose. Came there absolutely pulling a train 1 furlong out. She gets the filly's allowance and she's very, very smart. It is. I mean, literally, I'm looking at my notes here. I've sort of gone through and pretty much made a case for every single horse in the field. But if you had to tie me down to a selection, it would be Dark Crusader. But I do want to give a mention as well to Goodwood Mirage. She just touched off at Newbury last time out in a decent race and was second in a pretty decent Goodwood handicap as well. I can see him playing a massive part, and he's got 2 career wins, and obviously he's from the family of Temby, so I think he's definitely worth keeping an eye on.
Okay, I think it's fair to say that if anything won that race, you wouldn't be
You're not going to be surprised about anything. You literally can make a case for everything.
Okay, then. But the selection would be Dark Crusader.
Dark Crusader, yeah.
Okay, then. The final race that we'll look at is the 4.05 at Hexham. Just the 4 go to post for the Campbell Gillies Memorial Handicap Chase. It's over 2 miles. But much like that Ascot race, it's quite hard to rule anything out of this, isn't it?
Very much so. Yeah, you got riskier, obviously bred by the late John Manners. Last saw him winning at Sedgefield in May over 2.4 miles. He's taken quite a hike in the handicap. Would be quite fitting if Rhymer's Haar was to win this, obviously, for the Lucinda Russell stable. And Campbell actually rode this horse a few times. Last won at Kelso in December of 2012. Still £9 higher from that win. He rarely runs a bad race. I think, obviously, the heart kind of says Rhymer's Haar, really, doesn't it? But I'm sort of looking at Prince Tam. He has got a lot to find on official ratings, but he's consistent. And with the jockey's claim, he is actually off a featherweight. I think the one we haven't mentioned, the Donna McCain horse, Mulligan's Man, he was beaten favourite at sort of Banger last time out. He's been dropped £2 for that. Just not too sure whether he wants to get his head in front. I would, if I'm honest, not the type of race I would get involved in. If I was there, I would have a little bit on Prince Tam, but as much as I want to see Rhymer's Haar win.
No, it would be lovely to see Rhymer's Haar win, yeah. But I think Prince Tam really is off a featherweight, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. He's got 10 stone and then Jonathan England takes 5 off that. And he is consistent. I know, like, obviously, he's going off there, you know, in a mark of 91, and he's got a lot to find with the rest of them, but I'm not going to rule it out.
No. OK, then. So would that be the selection, then?
Yeah, let's go for Prince Tam, yeah.
OK, brilliant. OK, then, Catherine, could you just sum up your 3 picks in the 3 races that we've just looked at there, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Fontwell will go with the Colin Tizard horse, Virginia Ash. In the Noel Merlis listed stakes at Ascot, we will go with Dark Crusader. And at Hexham in the 4.05, we'll go with Prince Tam.
OK, brilliant, Catherine. Thank you very much for your time. Good luck with those picks. Enjoy the action and enjoy the arc on Sunday.
Thanks very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.